Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I am going to read today's scripture passage. It's rather lengthy. It comes out of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and 35. So if you have your Bible, please feel free to open it up at this point, because I want to make sure you hear today's word. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a town named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that had happened. While they were there talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and began walking with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Then he said, "So, what are these things that you were talking about while you walk?" Then the followers stopped. They looked at each other very sadly. And Cleopas, one of them, answered, "Are you really the only visitor in all of Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here?" Jesus said to them, "No, what are you talking about?" They said, "Well, it's about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet who said and did many powerful things before God and all the people. Our leaders and our leading priest handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he would free Israel. Besides this, it is now the third day since all these things have happened. And today, some of the women among us amazed us. Early this morning, they went to the tomb, but they did not find his body there. They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels who said that Jesus was now alive. So some of our group went to the tomb, too. They found it just the way the woman had said, but Jesus was not there. Then Jesus said to them, You are foolish and slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. You are foolish and slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. Again, you are foolish and slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. They said that Christ must suffer for these things before he enters into his glory. Then, starting with Moses and all the people, he said about Jesus, began to explain everything that had been written about himself in the scriptures. They came near the town to Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if they were going as he was going farther. But they begged him, "Stay with us, because it is late. It is almost night." So he went to stay with them. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took some bread, gave thanks, divided it, and gave it to them. And then they were allowed to recognize Jesus. But when they saw who he was, he disappeared. Okay? They said to each other, "It felt like a burning fire within us when Jesus talked to us on the road and explained what the scriptures meant to us." So the two followers got up at once and went back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 apostles had gathered. They were saying, "The Lord really has risen from the dead. He showed himself to Simon." Then the two followers told them what had happened on the road and how they recognized Jesus when they divided the bread. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have heard the story, the walk to Emmaus, before? How many Emmaus pilgrims do we have here? Just curious. If you don't know what walk to Emmaus is, it's an event that I went through actually the first year that I came to this church. It literally helped me see God in a new way. So I'm encouraging that ministry. If you'd like to talk to somebody who's been there, we have people who've done that. Okay. This is a very long story. It is actually the longest story in the New Testament. Believe it or not, that's complete. It's a bunch of verses, and it's a really strange story, okay? It's the only gospel that has this story, and what happens in short is this. These two disciples were leaving Jerusalem. That's kind of a first important sign that they were leaving this town, Jerusalem, and they just started to talk with each other, and all of a sudden, this hooded guy behind them, and this is how I picture it because I don't know how it really happened, but they were not able to recognize this person who came up behind them and said, "Yo, dude, what's up?" And they were like, "How can you not know what's going on? Do you not know all of the commotion that's going on in Jerusalem right now? How could you possibly not know what's going on?" And Jesus was playing them like, "Well, I don't know. You tell me." Do you get that? that he's just kind of playing these guys. And so they kind of looked at each other, and it says, sadly, and said, well, there was this person named Jesus. He had many followers. He did all these miracles. He did all of these great things. And we had hoped that he would be the one to free all of Israel. And Jesus was like, okay. And he lets them keep on going. And the next part of the story, they're still walking many miles down the road. And they eventually get to a point where Jesus stops them on one issue. And it's this. He finally reveals himself and he says this one thing. The thing that stops, I've completely lost my Bible verse now. This is embarrassing. This is why you should keep your notes together. This is one Ed, that's another one. You are foolish and slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. You are foolish and slow to believe everything that the prophet had said. And from this point onward, Jesus begins to explain himself and how he was the one that was to be prophesied in all of Scripture and revealed. And then it wasn't until the very dinner, the last part of the night, where they break bread. What is that about? What happened right before Jesus was crucified? They broke bread, they had a meal, and all of a sudden they were like, whoa, that's Jesus. They finally got it, and what happens next? He disappears. That's the story in sum. Okay. And the point of contention, as I said, is the word believe. You are foolish and slow to believe. Okay. Now, this is where we kind of fold into the story. Many of us have gone to church all of our lives. We understand how the church works. We do all of the church type stuff. We're part of this everyday living church thing that we do. And yet sometimes we are slow to believe certain things. Before we go and beat up the disciples so bad, oh, you should have just believed, it would have been a lot easier. We have to understand the root of that word. In Greek and Hebrew, there are certain words that are called anchors. And what that means, there's a small part of that word that anchors throughout all of history. Like the word Anna, who's singing today, by the way, means begin. And if you look up the root of Anna in Sanskrit, in Hebrew, and in Greek, it means begin. So Anna's name literally means begin, okay? And if you have all of these medical terms, sometimes you'll hear the word Anna, it means begin. It's the beginning of a process. So the root word that we are using today for the word belief comes from the word guarantee. The root word that we are looking at today comes from the Hebrew tradition. The word believe comes from the tradition, which means guaranteed. Now, most of us today, when we buy warranties and guarantees, we're kind of cynical. You know what I'm talking about? You could buy this warranty and this guarantee that may last for about 30, 60, 90 days. But in my experience, when you bring your phone back, oh, well, now we have to charge you, but I have a warranty. Well, that warranty only covers this, but you said it covered everything. Well, it is, but if you did this thing to it, then it's not covered. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have experienced the same warranty guarantee issues in your life, okay? That is not the guarantee that we're talking about in the Bible. When we talk about the word guarantee, it means is. And how does God define himself in all of the Old Testament? Is. I am. It just is. It's gonna happen. It just is. It is. That's it. It's a guarantee, okay? And the guarantee that Jesus was trying to tell them is that God loves you. God absolutely loves you. It is a it's guaranteed. No matter what you do, it is absolutely guaranteed that God loves you. So what does that mean all of a sudden when I say I need to believe in a God that loves me? Ouch. Wait a minute. He already loves me. It's guaranteed. It's already guaranteed. I just need to submit myself into that belief. Then starting with all of the prophets, Jesus began to explain himself to the disciples. All of us can be found in today's story to the walk to Emmaus. All of us in this room, none of us in this room are here by accident today. Absolutely believe that. Everyone in this room can be found in the story because some of us were like the disciples before Jesus revealed himself. I'm really trying to be a faithful person. I'm going to church. I try to do the things that God wants me to do, and I'm living that faithful life as best as I know it. I understand that. But yet, I feel like I need to be doing all these things. I need to be part of missions. I need to be part of a Sunday school. I need to be part of a group. I need to do all of these things to be plugged in. Maybe. Maybe. And then some of us are on the other side of this story where the disciples said this. It felt like a burning fire within us when Jesus talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. Some of us are on that side. We get it. God absolutely loves us. We get it. I know that God loves me, and I'm going to surrender my life over to him and do exactly what the disciples did at this point. They were walking back to Emmaus. They were walking home. They run into this person. They have this interchange, this discussion, and all of a sudden, it clicks to them. And did you notice Luke never says, they believed? Nowhere in this story do you find Luke saying, all of a sudden, the disciples believed. What Luke does say is this. If I can find it again. It felt like a fire burning in us when Jesus talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. And what did the disciples do at this point? They turned around. They were walking 7 miles with Jesus, and I don't know what you know about walking 7 miles. I don't do it. I don't even walk a mile in a day most of the time, okay? They spent 7 miles walking with Jesus all the way back to Emmaus, and once they got it, Scripture says they turned around and ran back to meet the other disciples. Why? Because there is this burning passion inside of them. Hold on. There's this burning passion inside of them now that we have to share with the other disciples. I have to be with the other disciples. They understand the story. They know what happened. I have to be with them now. And this is where we are in the story today. As I said, some of us are still seeking what it means to believe. Others are on that other side where they have been burning for Christ a long time and they're trying to share that love. The church of today, meaning Stonebridge United Methodist Church, if you're part of another church, the church of today needs you now more than ever. There are couples in this room that have been married for more than 30 years who actually remember what the first 3 years of marriage is like, okay? There are people in this room who are survivors of cancer who can help those who have now all of a sudden entered into the battle of their life. There are people here who have lost loved ones to cancer, drugs, alcohol abuse, or just to life in general. And you remember all of the grieving, all of the pain, all the suffering that you went through. And there are those that are about to enter into that same tragedy. There are people here who have survived economic heartaches. Remember the early 80s? Probably some of you youth don't, but if you remember the early 80s, the financial crisis is the same of pretty much of what we're going through today. Some of you have survived that, and you're able to thrive now. Maybe you can take what you've learned back then and say, you know what? I can maybe help my neighbor, maybe help somebody with my knowledge. Woo! Runaway bottle. Help my knowledge of what's going on. Now, some of you have been in a place where you have actually raised kids successfully to a point of adulthood. And maybe not only your kids, but maybe the kids around in your community, that your house was just that place where everyone went. Maybe you are that type of person where you've helped raise literally a generation. And now we have all of a sudden a group of young families coming into our church who is going to go through the heartaches of boyfriend breaking up with girlfriend, kids getting caught sneaking out and robbing my house, people taking wheels off of my car and leaving it on a brick. You'll go through the heartaches of all of the things that life will face, that you will face in life as teenagers. Maybe your job can be to help those who have gone through there. We literally have adults in our youth program who've literally bailed people out of jail in our youth program because their parents weren't there to do it. Maybe we are called to be the church in a new, shining way. In this story, we have God that has revealed himself to his believers slowly. You notice God didn't say, I'm here, believe in me. He was walking with them for 7 miles, slowly revealing himself to them. And it's my contention and my argument today is that God is slowly revealing himself in our lives, each and every one of us. For those of us who are just new believers, we're starting to understand, like, oh, maybe there's something really to this Christian faith. Those of us who've been walking our walk for a long time may be able to help that person back there. Again, it is God slowly revealing himself. Just as the artist showed you in the painting and in the pictures and in the song today, you will begin to understand the meaning when you get it. You will begin to understand the meaning when you get it. And I don't know what Bible you guys read and all the interpretations and all the various versions that we have, but when I read my scriptures, there is absolutely one thing that God says, and it's this. It's, I love you. 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 Slowly revealing that to you in every capacity of his being. And maybe what your job is to do now is to think about your last week. How did God reveal that to you? And who am I to share that with? Because that's what the church is really about. What did the disciples do? They ran back to be with their friends. They ran back to be with the other disciples because they got it. They understand that God is about love, and they needed to share that in a community. And in communities like this community today, we have all been through the joys, the sufferings, all the things that life could possibly encapsulate, and we can help each other. We truly can. But it takes you being a part of a small group. It takes you being part of a Sunday school. It takes you being part on missions. It takes you being part of worship. It takes you being a part of all the things that the church has to offer. But on top of that, you letting God reveal himself through you in those groups. You letting God reveal himself through you in those groups. We have disciple studies here. We have all of these opportunities for you to become plugged in. And it's absolutely my contention that I've said this from the very first day that I started ministry. Youth group is really about an opportunity to hang out. Really. Everything that we do is just an excuse to hang out and be in fellowship and be in community with each other. Why? Because when we're doing life together, there are going to be hiccups on the road. There are going to be people who were arrested. There are going to be people who need someone because someone has passed away. There's going to be people who need help. There's going to be people who need education. All of these things that go on in a youth program. And within our own group, we can help each other. And it is my prayer that you find a group to belong to in this church, that you get so plugged in with your Sunday school that you slowly begin to reveal things about things that are in your own life. There's so many Bible studies that I go to that the first 20 minutes is just talking about life. Some teachers hate that. Let's get to the Bible study. We have to translate all this stuff. Other people, we need to sit here for a while. We just need to talk about the things in our lives. So if you haven't been plugged into a group in a while, understand that the church needs your life experience no matter where you are at now. If you're new in your faith, we need your energy. There is no better way to screw up a youth group than have somebody absolutely fire on God. Because all of a sudden they start talking about Jesus all the time and the youth group goes, well, why don't we just play paintball? All of a sudden you have somebody who wants to talk about Jesus and a group of people who want to talk about paintball. Where do you think the conversation's really going to go? Well, I want to grow in my faith, so let's talk about Jesus or something. Find ways to get plugged into your group, and it's my prayer that you do find that here. And if we don't offer it, start it. I found on Facebook this past week, somebody starting a men's study on Tuesday, I believe, and I don't know what that is. If you're on Facebook, look it up. But that's what I'm saying is let God reveal himself in you. And if you don't understand that, understand how these pictures came together today. I asked some volunteers to come up and interpret something. They had no idea what they were looking at. But all of a sudden, they wrote down some things, and they said, this is what it means to me. I'm now revealing my life explanation into this thing. And they interpreted. But then all of a sudden, the master creator comes and says, no, this is what it's really about. This is what this painting is really about. And the last thing I want to say for you today is this. The master creator of the universe has one message, and it's, I love you. And I don't know what that means for you now, but accept that. Go to that point where it's a guarantee in your life. I get it now. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. It's not one of those things that's going to wear out in 30, 60, 90 days. God's love is eternal, period. I get it. Let's pray. Dear Father God, your love is so absolutely amazing. You reveal yourself to us in the only way that you can, through your son Jesus. And in knowing him and having a relationship with him, we really begin to see this world in a different way. Our husband and our wives are no longer just that other person. They are someone that you gave to us to love. Our children are not just headaches, but maybe they're an encouragement to us to look at life differently. I pray that you reveal yourself in us, and that maybe we are willing to interject our lives into others, and that in all of these relationships, we can have this thing called the church. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.